What's up, guys? Welcome back to another Paris, Texas, a podcast. I have a super cool guest today. He is a really good friend, if not probably one of my best friends. We do a bunch of stuff together, and I probably regularly stop into his shop just to bug him for no reason other than to see his face. Chrissy Stepp, what's up, dog?
Hey, man. I am super, super excited to be here.
So, we've been pretty good friends for what, maybe 2 years?
Yeah, definitely.
And I have seen you go through some really cool changes in that 2 years.
That's right.
And I am really excited for this podcast.
Me too, man. I'm glad to be here. And man, I think your podcast is great. And I've listened to almost every one of them. And I think it's great just, you know, having, you know, Paris, Texas having a podcast. And man, being a part of it is great. I think it's awesome.
Well, I'm excited to add your story to my list of stories.
I told you,
man. You can't tell, but I got a beard, but I'm blushing under here.
They're right, right. Hey, man, I told you I'm like probably one of the most boring people. So I'm excited to do it, but at the same time, I'm like, my story is...
I'm willing to bet to all the listeners that this is not going to be a boring podcast. I'm going to go ahead and put my money on the table on that.
Right on.
So, okay, I've changed up how I had a question I started all the podcasts out with. I'm going to change that up. First off, fair warning that we are currently in Chris Estep's motorcycle shop, South Main Iron, and there are people playing cornhole like 20 feet away from us.
That's right.
So if you hear celebrating or loud thuds like that one, that's them. So just ignore it. We kind of enjoy this kind of thing. But
absolutely.
Chris Estep.
Yes.
Where are you from?
Well, I was born in Paris.
Nuh-uh.
So you don't ask the Parisian parasite question anymore?
No, I liked it at first.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And I got old, so now I just want to go right into your story.
Let's do it. So I was born in Paris, spent some time in Hugo, and then I went to from North Lamar, actually, in the third grade. I went to North Lamar from third until my freshman year, and then went back to Hugo and graduated from Hugo. And as soon as I graduated high school, moved back to Paris because it was home. And started working at Sears in Paris. That's, you know, not in business anymore. And from there, man, we got married whenever I was 21, and man, that was in 06, so it's been awesome. But from there, you know, it's, you know, the power sports world has always, you know, fascinated me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started working at a local power sports dealer in 06, and you know, I knew I wanted to make a career out of it. And I was there about 12 years, and my best friend, Ryan Whitaker, who I've known since probably kindergarten, he was starting his own business, and South Main Iron, and I could not imagine, you know, being outside the power sports world, and I am super, super excited to be here. And I totally just summed up like 20 years in 3 minutes.
Everybody listening, that was the synopsis.
Yeah, that was the synopsis.
So now we're going to jump back to, what age did you move to Hugo?
So I was born in Paris, but for about 2 years, we lived in Hugo's whenever I was about 2 years old.
2 years old. So you don't remember any of that?
I don't. No, I have a weird memory.
Nuh-uh.
And no, I'm serious. I have the weirdest memory, I'm told. And, you know, it's one of those deals that I can remember, you know, stuff from being on that street and just certain things. I do have a wild story about Albert Drive.
Bring it.
So, you know, of course, you know, you remember that furniture that's green and brown and everything else, right? So, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
The, like, floral?
Yes.
Well, I can remember us having that type of carpet and, you know, and everything. It was all that 80s stuff, right?
Yeah. So grandparents had it.
Born in 83, and so this would, you know, it's going to be 85.
Okay.
And, you know, those curtains that are the heavy, like, wool style curtains, you know what I'm
almost
talking
like
about?
Corduroy.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I remember being, my mom, either in the kitchen or something, and I was always told not to unplug or plug in, you know, the outlets, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can remember walking over to this lamp, and it was the clear. I remember it being the clear plug, and I unplugged it, plugged it back in, back and forth, sparked, caught the curtains on fire, and my mom and I, we still talk about it to this day. Curtains are on fire. My mom is coming in. I remember it like it was, I mean, I'm serious, like it was last week. Curtains are on fire. My mom is freaking out. And, man, that's just like one of those memories that stuck in there. The dog that we had and everything from being 2 years old, catching crawdads. I mean, you know, Oklahoma stuff, right?
Oh, my goodness.
So that was, I mean, there's so many memories that I have on that street. But, no, we moved to Durant for a little while. And then, yeah, we came back and I started school. Actually, I think I went to Aiken for just a little while. But, yeah. I have a ton of friends from North Lamar, and
because you a majority of your school
was at North Lamar.
Was at North Lamar,
yeah,
but you didn't happen to graduate from there.
Yeah, started there, I guess, around 93, and no, went to live with my dad in Hugo, which was awesome, and definitely, you know, and a just incredible, you know, time in my life.
So
living in Hugo.
When did Ryan come into the picture?
As far as Ryan and I,
when did y'all meet?
Basically, early on, you know, in elementary, you know, I knew Ryan, and I was always at his house.
We are neighbors?
And, no, we just knew, you know, met each other, you know, from school and stuff. And so, Ryan, you know, we rode four-wheelers and everything, you know, at his parents' house. And, you know, it's kind of crazy, you know, because I had a four-wheeler then, too, and that was... you know, I can remember like in third or fourth grade, you know, so riding boilers together and stuff like that. There's, you know, some pits, is what we used to call it. And, growing up on those streets and stuff like that, Ryan and I, were always riding and, you know, at his house, at his parents' house too. So
you built a lifelong friendship riding four wheelers together.
Pretty much, man.
And now y'all,
now we're in it together, but we've worked together. Matter of fact, Ryan and I worked together at Sears. And
Nuh-uh.
I'm serious. Yeah, we worked together at Sears. That was in 2000. And July of 2000, I started at Sears. And I'm telling you, it was one of the best jobs for somebody that's, you know, straight out of high school, which it's not in, you know, in business anymore, unfortunately. I met so many awesome people and, you know, work family and stuff there that I still see around Paris.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, and, you know, Ryan and I, you know, I always feel like I'm that, you know, laid back kind of person that, you know, is a little bit shy, and which, you know, Ryan says otherwise, but Ryan is super, super outgoing, and he's always had, you know, a super good mindset.
High energy,
yeah, hilarious, and he's, you know, super likable, and, you know, he's got a really good business sense, and that's what, you know, I really, you know, looked at, you know, especially whenever he started South Main Iron, you know, being over here, and it's been awesome ever since. But yeah, we worked together at Sears. I was at Sears until 2005, so I actually worked there for 5 years. Ryan went on, you know, to sell cars for a little while, but in 2005, actually, one of my, you know, kind of dreams was to become a police officer. And so in 2005, I got a job at Durant Police Department in Durant, Oklahoma. And I was there.
Doing what?
As a patrolman.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
How do I not know this?
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's, you were a police officer.
Yeah. For, Beth would say otherwise, but I think it was around 5 or 6 months. And, you know, I had just... overall, just had a completely new respect, you know, for, you know, police officers,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, just I felt, you know, like I needed to definitely, you know, do something different overall. And great department, great town.
Certain jobs are for people and not for
people. Yeah, no, definitely. But left there and started Power Sports in 06.
Whoa.
Yeah.
6 months? 5 months?
It was like 5-6 months, yeah.
What's the craziest story that you can tell that happened in that amount of time?
I got it.
Go.
I say craziest. One of the ones that sticks out in my mind is, so in my, they call it, you know, your FTO process where you're with an FTO. One of my first phases in the, whenever I was with an FTO is, you know, obviously I'm super, super nervous, you know, and they kind of teach you, you know, just kind of relax and everything. So I'm walking up to this truck that this lady's in, and it was like my second stop that I had ever made, like live stop, you know, not training or anything, but out there actually on the road, right? So I walk up and, you know, she turned around, she said, "Are you scared of me?" And, you know, because they teach you to, you know, we're to, you know, use caution and, you know, walk up to every single car that, you know, approach it, you know, the same, you know, you just, you know, overall, you know, just for your safety and everything. And I probably overly did it, but you know, I got her driver's license and everything, came back to the patrol car and grabbed the ticket book, and I went through whenever I went to write the ticket, I went through, like, I didn't put the flap down, so I went through like 7 tickets. I wrote through, pressed through like 7 tickets, and that was, you know, a big no-no, you know, in the whole scheme of everything. And so, yeah, I definitely heard about it, having to void out 6 tickets whenever we got back to the station. So I realized that I did that. You know, besides that, no, I mean, I had an awesome time. There's definitely, you know, people who come out, you know, at different times. There are different people every shift. You know, you have, you know, you're, you know, early, you know, 7 to 3 is different from the 3 to 11, 11 to 7. I mean, those people at night, it's a different world. So, but it was awesome, man. We learned a lot and made a lot of friends over there as well. People that, you know, I still, you know, connect through, you know, Facebook and everything. So,
okay, definitely. So you left there, you went to motorsports.
Yeah.
Where was that at?
Here in town. It was at Paris Harley Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, met a ton of people and worked over there. Was parts manager there at the dealership, and also did marketing as well. So
awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And in your marketing, I just know this about you, so I want to take us there. In your marketing, you learned how to do graphics and even some video, right?
I did. Fell in love with it,
right? Because
you and I definitely, you know, are on the in the same
wavelength.
Know, that's right. You know, whenever we're, you know, I'm constantly, you know, message you, or you know, I'm calling you. I'm like, probably, hey, what do you think about this? You know, at the same time. No, you know, it's funny how that happened. You know, it just kind of fell into place. Me doing, you know, some of the marketing and everything over there, which I loved, and you know, it with advertising and marketing, you know, it allowed me to, you know, not only do something a little bit different, you know, with my time and everything, but also allowed me to overall just kind of be creative.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about, you know, being in Adobe and being, you know, having the camera at the same time. It's endless. And, you know, I didn't really realize that at first. So yeah. I love Photoshop, love Premiere Pro,
yeah,
and After Effects and all of that. And I haven't even scratched. I love to say that I've scratched the surface.
I don't know that I have, and I do it every day.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I get a lot of entertainment, you know, from doing that and being, you know, diving off into Photoshop.
So. There's something about creative people that they have to have that outlet, and a lot of times it's really hard for them. I go back to my, sorry to slip into my story, but I go back into my high school childhood years, and I didn't know what my creative outlet was, and I think it made life harder. You know, even with stress release, you know, until I found my creative outlet in my 20s, it is when I started figuring out, I love doing this, and I love learning, and again, you could Adobe programs, people make careers out of learning how to work Adobe programs.
No, definitely. And, you know, those guys, you know, I follow some on Instagram. It's, you know, some of the work that's out there is just, and the whole thing is, and I'm sure you've thought the same thing, but it's right there in front of me.
Yeah.
It's right
there. Every button that they are using is right there in front of you.
It's in your mind. You know, it's all about, mindset. You know, all of their stuff. And, you know, I get that, you know, they're probably in it a lot more than I am. But it comes down to art.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything, you know, and you know, like, you know, some of the videos and stuff that you've done, I mean, that's all of that. Every single button that's selected inside that is, you know, comes down to, you know, what you want to do with it. And your videos are incredible.
Again, the blushing behind the ear.
That you do.
Thank you.
And yeah, you know, some of the latest ones and stuff, you know, that y'all have done, some of the, what was it? Like the fire department and stuff like that, you know.
The Paris, Texas Leah. One just came out. If you haven't seen the Paris, Texas video, go. E Paris has it on their site, so go check that out.
Definitely awesome.
Okay, so Harley for, let me see if I can remember this, 12 years.
That's right. You got it.
That's awesome, dude. So how much, okay, first off, were you a motorcycle person? I know you did four wheelers, but were you a motorcycle person prior to that?
Yes, I wasn't a Harley person, just overall.
Dirt bikes,
loved. I had a friend growing up that we spent a lot of time, you know, riding dirt bikes and four wheelers and stuff. And, you know, overall became a passion. You know, everybody loves growing up around side-by-sides, four-wheelers and dirt bikes, but it was really in my system, in my veins. And, I can remember buying a four-wheeler, you know, from the local, you know, power sports here, you know, whenever I was like 16 years old. And I probably kept it on two wheels more than I kept it on four, is what my dad always says, going out there across the pasture in Hugo. But I loved it. I mean, it was just always in my system. And, you know, it's awesome. You know, you talk to some of these guys who've been riding for so long and just listening to them, you know, having the passion for riding, you know, at the same time. And our team here, you know, at South Main Iron, is all of them are super passionate about riding, you know, so you sit there and talk to them for a couple of minutes and realize that this isn't, you know, somebody that's just standing, you know, behind a desk, or, you know, they're, you know, out here on the floor and they love to ride. It's just in their system as well. But
awesome. So, did you grow to love Harleys?
I did.
You did?
Instantly. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is some incredible brands out there. Actually, I would say most of the brands that are out there, overall, are great brands. You know, there's something about you know, overall the Harley brand overall. Mm-hmm. You know, if I used to tell people, you know, you sit on 20 bikes and you sit on a Harley, and it's one of those, you know, it's a completely different world at the same time. But there are some incredible brands out there, you know, leaving there and, you know, starting, you know, when we opened up South Main Iron, you know.
Which was only
6 months ago.
6 months ago. So not very long. So you were there for
April
12
16th.
Years. April 16th, you came over and y'all started South Main Iron.
Yeah.
And then, okay, keep going.
Yeah.
I just want to catch people up.
No, yeah, April 16th. It has been an incredible, incredible ride. We have some loyal customers, and it's you know, things are looking great. And you know what we want to do downtown is one of those
epic locations.
Listen, downtown is. It's incredible. It really is. And I always say, you know, if you hear me, you know, talking about it, the downtown people are amazing.
Yeah.
They really
are.
Oh
yeah. And trust me, I know. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. And just being down here, we have Swaim Hardware across the street that their sign says 1932 on it. They probably have stuff from 1932. I mean, they
still
have
on the shelf.
Everything. Over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it is pretty awesome to hear, you know, people, even now, you know, that have came from out of town. They're like, man, I didn't even know y'all were here. And, you know, they came, everybody knows where Swaim Hardware is.
Oh, yeah. So, anybody that in the 100-mile radius
will
know exactly where you're talking about. Not only is it an epic location in the city, it's an epic location as a building. Yeah. If you have not been inside of their building, like, come get a tour. I guarantee you, if Chris or Ryan are here, they will instantly give you a tour of the building.
Yeah.
Because it's got an awesome lower level. They have, they'll tell you some of their plans for the is that a middle level or an upper
yeah,
level?
Yeah, so, we call it kind of a mid-level.
Mid-level.
So, South Main Street, we
hits the mid-level.
That's right. And so we have, our building is 30, I think it's nearly 40,000 square foot total, throughout the entire building. You know, we use a good portion of the 15,000-16,000 square foot of, showroom that we have. Right now our storefront is on the First Street side, Southwest First.
Temporarily.
Yeah, temporarily. And, we have a ton of plans for up front and, to bring on a restaurant as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did I just say that? Probably wasn't supposed to say that out loud, but we have a lot of plans in the future as well, and you know, more locations too. So,
and then upstairs is equally as awesome as downstairs.
I totally agree. Yeah, that it is probably one of the things, and Ryan will say the same. Stepping foot up there on that second floor, mm-hmm. and seeing the 1932 hardwood floors,
mm-hmm.
That are, you know, they're old. And the building is old.
Not thin, but
1933.
Short, but they're small planks. Like, they're not like 2x4s. They're like,
just imagine those guys in 1933 and that
putting
laid
those down.
Laid every one of those. You know, I'm all about history, and you know, anybody that's around me, I'm constantly talking about the history of, you know, our location and downtown. I'm definitely fortunate to be in leadership of Lamar County, mm-hmm. This class, for 2018-2019, which I love. And the last class was about Paris, Texas, and Lamar County, the history of Paris, Texas, and Lamar County.
There could be a whole podcast about that.
I am like, there could be. And I mean, it's amazing. You know, overall, listening to, you know, those people and listening, you know, and walking through the museum. I didn't know Paris had a museum.
A couple,
you know,
actually, right?
I'm sure. Like, down there by the depot, man?
There's, like, two down by the depot. There's one in the depot, and then there's one in Heritage Hall.
Yeah, one's, like, the Indian one. That one that's right, that's next to Heritage Hall.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's incredible. A couple churches that have museums inside of them as well.
Really?
They're smaller, probably the size of your office, but they're pretty neat.
It is, if anybody gets the chance to walk through.
And then
through
Maxie
that.
House is pretty much a museum if you walk up in there.
True. So, but they have stuff from, I mean, I could sit here and talk about, I could get off on talking about Lamar County history and Paris history, just because it is so fascinating, you know, just learn about the fire and, you know, one of our just main things. And, you know, overall it is, it's, I love history, especially
we'll
our
have
location.
We'll have a second episode.
It'll be called
Broadway and Chris's Paris, Texas history lesson.
That's right.
And we'll do a whole podcast on all the knowledge you remember.
Go live and take questions.
Heck, oh, that's a really good idea.
Let's do it.
I'm putting it in the books.
Yeah.
Maybe something we can do for the beginning of like 2019.
Definitely.
Okay. So, y'all been here 6 months.
Yep.
You've got some epic plans for the future. You've got some epic ground roots going on now.
You know, we have also, you know, one of our favorite things to do is South Main Saturday. You know, we have events. That's once a month that we have. And we love the South Main Saturday. We have live music, beverages, you know, food and stuff like that. But we love to have different events at our location. And customers, you know, like to be able to come out, ride out. Mm-hmm. And whether you are in the truck, car, or a motorcycle, you know, it's everybody's welcome. No matter what you ride, you know, it's not stereotypical or anything like that. But we, speaking of one, you know, we've got one coming up that's called Blankets, Bikers, and Blues.
Mm-hmm. I saw an ad for that.
Yeah, it actually, you know, it's presented by Lamar County Human Resources Council and Mills on Wheels, and I'm on the board at Mills on Wheels.
I didn't know
and,
that.
Yeah. So I've been on the board at Mills on Wheels, which I absolutely love that organization and you know what they do for seniors and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
Amazing.
It really is.
One of my favorite parts, and it's a weird part. I mean, I love everything about your building and everything about your company and everything. But so recently they moved the Paris, Texas sign. So the one that used to be by, it was close to Paris Baby.
Yeah.
It was in that burnout over there, kind of closer to, it was a little bit closer to the square. It got moved and it got put on your wall next to this big tree.
We call it the burnout
building.
On the south side.
Burnout lot. That's a great name for it.
Yep.
Big, awesome tree to have stuff under.
It is.
I did my ribbon cutting there not too long ago.
Yep.
And it just, I don't know. It's such an epic location. I've seen you guys put out tables and chairs and umbrellas. And,
I know y'all got
plans for that.
We do stuff.
But I just, something about that corner just makes me feel at home.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, this whole location, you know, where we're at and stuff. It's super awesome. And that, you know, we have future plans for that, you know, as far as, you know, food vendors and, you know, live music and everything. It's a perfect location. We've, put a door in, so we have access to come in and out of that burnout lot. So it's going to be great.
Was it four levels of bricks?
So the fire barrier in a lot of these buildings downtown, you're going to get me off on history.
Well, just this brick wall.
Designed to have a fire barrier in a lot of the businesses or buildings in downtown Paris, and so there is a lot of them. You know, have 3 and 4 bricks. This one is 4 bricks thick.
Whew.
Can you imagine? So our house is one, right?
Yeah.
Or most houses.
Most brick houses.
So, 4 bricks thick of tearing that wall out and putting this door in. And I love our doors. Everybody's always like, why is he so worried about the doors? Our doors, a few of them were built on site, but they're sliding doors. We had a couple of like hangar style doors that are in our tech area. And those three doors, big doors that weigh as much as a car, were built on site. And
imagine people listening, imagine the barn doors, what people put in their house now. It's kind of a fad.
Yeah,
imagine that, like, supersized on crack.
Yeah,
huge scale, big
thick.
Scale, thick,
heavy.
You have
glass.
To have machines to open most of them.
Yeah,
because they're so big.
Yeah,
imagine that, and that's the kind of doors we're talking about, big old sliding doors.
Yeah. But we do, you know, we have active construction going on, you know, here at the dealership.
And you probably will for a while.
We will for a while. Yeah, we definitely have a lot of plans. You know, while we were, we just got back from London. Did I tell you
that? I was just fixing to go
there.
Were
you really?
Yeah, that was my next topic.
Hey, you know, outside of like, you know, going to Mexico and stuff like that, that was my first time to leave the country, really.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. I'd never been to Europe.
Dude,
I've never been to
London, but I love traveling.
Yeah, so... Ryan and I went. We went for a new brand that we're looking at carrying, Triumph Motorcycles, which
we can say
is
that now.
Amazing, yeah, you bet.
Oh,
and so
I'm so excited for you.
I know they do have an incredible brand, and you know, just sitting there, and you know, being able to visit with the CEO and stuff while we were there was pretty great. And they have an amazing lineup for 2019. So the trip, you know, to London is, it was long. I'm not going to lie to you. It wasn't bad, you know, 9.5 hour flight. And what was really funny is we left, you know, at like 7 o'clock at night. And the weirdest thing is at 1:55 Paris time, the sun's coming up. So it was pretty wild, you know, seeing, you know, being in the air and looking down and seeing that. But the time change, I'm not going to lie to you, was a struggle. I didn't get a lot of sleep in London, but I managed to, you know, see, and, you know, I managed to find out how much I could function on very few hours of sleep. I wouldn't even call it sleep. I'd call it more like several power naps overall.
I think the trick, I'm not an expert, but I've traveled a few times in my 8 days, but the trick is to find out that time before you leave. mm-hmm. and then schedule your sleep schedule the day before. Like, so if you know you're going to be showing up at sun up there, then you need to sleep a little bit before you get to the airport, and then you need to sleep the entire, like, you need to take some Benadryl and sleep that plane ride all the way there.
You can tell you what the worst part about it was. What's calling that? Back home.
Yeah,
and, you know, talking to the kids and, you know, talking. Your mind, you know that, you know, if it's midnight, you know it's 6 o'clock. If it's midnight, you know it's only six. Yeah. You know, it's around dinner time, you know, back home. Yep. And so if it's 6 o'clock in London, you know it's lunchtime. And so if you can get that out of your head, everybody kept saying, quit thinking about the central time zone, you know, back in Paris. Stop talking about
it's
it.
All mental.
It's all mental. So, yeah, there would be many times where we would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, Ryan and I both. Mm-hmm. We'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're wide awake, mm-hmm. like full-blown. So, no, but we did. We saw the brand and saw, got to go to their world convention that they have every 3 years in London. You know, they have one in the States as well, but... those bikes are, most of those bikes are built there in London, or excuse me, in Hinckley, which is just north of London. So we got to tour the factory and stuff. But, you know, while we were there, of course, you know, we made time to see St. Paul Cathedral and we went to Big Ben, which is probably one of my favorite places while we were in London. We also, we saw Buckingham Palace. And that was definitely awesome to see. So, you know, that whole town is has a, you can tell it's, royalty, type, environment on a lot of the corners. But, you know, the nicest people, I'm serious when I say, you know, you always hear people come back and say, you know, oh, there's the rudest people in this, New York or whatever. London has some of the nicest people I've ever been around. That's awesome. All of the cabs... And any of the cab drivers, they were so eager, in the restaurants that we went to, they were so eager to, help us and tell us, what the next best thing, was, where we needed to travel. And one thing I will say, since they drive on the left-hand side of the road, one of the funniest things, I wouldn't say it was funny, if you're going to step across the road, where are you going to look over here?
To the left. Oh, because they're opposite. Yep, you have to look to the right.
I can't tell you how many times we'd look to the left and start walking, and here comes a car.
On their right side.
On there, on there, on the left. So, yeah, that's one thing that's pretty wild. But the weather there was, 60s during the day, 50s in the mornings. The last day we were there, it was kind of chilly, but they were having an abnormal kind of season over there. But
so, Triumph, I don't know... I mean, I've had a little bit of history with motorcycles. Mm-hmm. I don't want to dive into me, but Triumph, I think, is probably one of my more favorite brands.
Yeah.
Because, not all, but one of their styles is what they call a cafe racer.
Yep.
And it's got like this long, flat seat and this lower kind of body look, and the handlebars are close to the front. Yeah. And
that's kind of their, that's overall, kind
their, of their feel, right?
It is. You know, it's their theme kind of is that cafe style. And listen, they're also, going into that, they have a Tiger that's an adventure bike, which is super awesome. And I had the chance to ride one, actually one of our customers.
Is that the one you showed me a picture of?
Yeah.
That was an awesome looking bike. Yeah,
and if you like that on-off-road type, it's one of those.
Kimmy would never let me have a motorcycle, but if I were to have a motorcycle, that I think that's the kind I would want right there.
Yeah, you just ask forgiveness later.
We're gonna have to barter because I don't have any money to put into
my Hey, no, really, it's an awesome brand. And while we were in London, speaking of Cafe Racer, they have this place called Ace Cafe, and I put it on our Facebook. But it is a really neat place, and we got to meet the owner, and his name's Mark Wilsmore, and he is a fascinating guy overall.
Wow.
He told us a lot about the Cafe Racer. And where it all began, and it began right there at the Ace Cafe.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, in London. So,
Do you have like photos and stuff to back it up, or?
Yeah, I mean the Ace Cafe. If you look up Ace Cafe online, and you know, I took some pictures of the building, but the Ace Cafe is, you know, it's a cafe. You know, they kind of you can eat there, and you know, they wanted a place that people could come to, and no matter what the brand was, but you know, it's how it was back then. He actually bought it in '94, but how it was, you know, back in the day, you know, whenever, you know, like, you know, those, you know, movies and stuff came out, and, you know, Steve McQueen, you know, and stuff, you know, those movies and stuff like that were kind of a turning point for so many things. Well, how it was then is the same way it is now at any motorcycle dealership.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, they would meet up, talk, organize, you know, they would hang out, have a beer, you know, or a glass of milk. They actually have a milk like container in there, and then people, guys still pull up and get milk. Like I had one guy pull up or walk up next to me while I was in there, and he's like, yeah, you know, I like a glass of milk, you know. So pretty awesome, pretty different, right?
In my head, I know exactly what you're talking about. In my head, I keep wanting to go to like a guy on a Harley,
yeah,
in a vest,
yeah,
with a big beard,
exactly,
riding up to a cafe asking for a glass of milk.
I know,
that's
right?
The picture I'm getting,
and
in my
I mean
head.
He's
but that's not what it is.
But you know how it is today is the same way, or how it was then is the same way it is today. You know, you got guys that pull up on, you know, a bike that's inspired, you know, by them, you know, that they've created and they've added their own touches. Nobody wants to, you know, pull up on a stock bike. You know, they've chopped the fender off, or they put some straight handlebars, or whatever it may be. The same way it was then is the same way it is now.
That's awesome.
Same way at the Ace Cafe. So they would take their bikes and ride from the Ace Cafe down the road and back, all in kind of a circle, and
boom,
became the cafe racer.
Wow.
Pretty awesome. But we really enjoyed our trip. You know, we learned a lot, and if you get the chance to go to London, I totally recommend it.
It's on my bucket list, bro.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that. Well, I was going to ask you what your, like, dream bike is, but I'm assuming the, what's it called?
What?
The one you showed me a picture of. The one you got a chance to ride because a customer came up.
Oh, the Tiger.
The Tiger. Is that would be your dream bike?
You know, the Adventure, I love all motorcycles.
So you don't have like one?
Man, I honestly really don't. You know, I can think in my head of, you know, some stuff that I would do. And anybody that's been in the motorcycle industry, you know, has that one that just fits them perfect. I have short legs.
Okay.
So, you know, you take that guy that has, you know, it's a long-legged guy that, you know, can handle, you know, some of the touring bikes. I can handle a touring bike no matter, you know, what it is.
You can have those shortened, though, can't you?
Like, you can, yeah. You can put a lowering kits and stuff on them. But, you know, I definitely have that in my mind, you know, what I would do, you know, to a motorcycle, whether it be...
Because that's probably what motorcycling is all about, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not about the stock bike being the dream bike. It's about what can you do to certain bikes to make it more...
Fit you.
Yeah, and your personality,
you know,
and
that's
your
right.
And make it more your dream bike by adding and taking away,
that's
and
right,
cutting something off, or adding a different style seat, or
you don't want to fit the bike, you want the bike to fit you.
Right.
And so, right, you know, at the same time, and you know, we've you know, I've talked about that for years, you know, customizing, you know, motorcycles and stuff like that. But you know, overall, you know, I can definitely see what bike and what direction. I'm not going to say,
yeah,
you know, because I'm at the drawing board right now on what I want to do. I'm serious. Yeah,
it's gonna
be in the next. You'll see it in probably the next 3 or 4 months. We'll have to post a picture, but I've got it in my head exactly what I want to do. Yeah, so super excited about it. I'm not going to fill in any details, but it's coming.
Wow.
Yeah. But I love all motorcycles, you know, whether it's, no matter what brand. This has kind of, you know, really forced us to, you know, learn some of the other brands out there that, you know, that we really didn't know that much about. And there's some incredible motorcycle brands, even, you know, ATVs and side-by-sides too. So, you know, we love it. We love being down here.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this was not at all a boring podcast.
Is it over?
Well, it doesn't have to be. Do you have any questions?
Let's talk about you.
I've got that. I will give you a little hint. I've been asked that question numerous times. I have scheduled, so the first podcast of 2019
is all about Broadway.
Will be about Broadway.
Awesome. Well, good.
And at the moment, I have two people that want to interview me at the same time, I think, is what we're going to do.
Now you have three. Totally do it. I've got some. I'll have some wicked questions for you.
maybe we'll have to figure out a way for people to like insert questions and send them in or something. But no. So yeah, that's the plan. Is the first podcast of 2019.
Yeah,
will be all about Broadway.
Awesome, man! I'm super excited.
If anyone cares to listen,
no, definitely. Hey, your story is pretty epic too, right?
I mean. I don't know. I think I have some fun stories to tell, but like that would be up to people listening.
Right. No, I understand.
I like telling stories, so there's that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, man, when I start talking, it's...
Occasionally I get people that I bring on the podcast that somehow have this magical power to turn
the conversation.
Start,
yeah,
they turn it and start asking questions. And before I even remember that we're doing a podcast...
Yeah.
I start answering the questions, and then I look down and I realize that like I've taken up half the podcast talking about me, and it's their time to be telling their story.
It's a lot to talk about in just a short amount of time. So.
Well, my dream for this podcast has always been for it to be more of a conversation between me and you, or me and the guest.
Man versus being in front of that camera,
and it's way easier, right?
way easier, but you know what we were talking about before. Like Dax, podcast, and I also listened to that one. Man, Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell and stuff.
Armchair Expert.
That's
is the name of that podcast. If anyone wants to look it up.
One of my favorites, and Gary Vee.
Gary Vee's got a good one.
He does have a good one. So
I got a new one. You might want to try out. Replay All, I think is what it's called. And
Reply
All.
I'll have to check that one out.
Reply All.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
You know, podcasts are hard sometimes if you don't make the time for them at the same, you know what I'm saying? Because it takes me 7 minutes to get to work.
Yeah.
So I have to make time for podcasts, if I'm, jogging or, if I'm at home and I'm like, I'm putting my headphones in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to listen.
See, I'm always in my car. I mean, basically, I have an office downtown at the Grove, but I go to so many clients in my car, so I spend a lot of time in my car. So I get a lot of time to listen to podcasts and books and stuff like that. One thing I have, I just want to jump into this, is I had a few requests on doing short podcasts, and I tried, so I did one.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm gonna try to make this a weekly thing.
Yeah.
And I failed.
Oh, you failed.
Yes. So
what was the time? Like how long? 10 minutes?
So my goal was to keep them under 10 minutes.
Oh,
my first one was, I did two. My first one was telling people, okay, here's what I want to try.
Right.
I'm going to try to do this. I've got someone lined up. We're going to, and so then I did my first one, which was Jeremy Glossop.
Yeah.
Owns a small town beard company. Actually, you guys carry his stuff in your shop.
We do.
So if anybody wants to hit up some beard stuff, go to the South Main Iron or look at Jeremy Glossop up on, and you see, this is not a sponsored.
That's right.
He's not paying me to say this, but I really do enjoy. I use
Small
Town Beard Company, and
it is good stuff.
You should look him up. He's on website, Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. I think Instagram. I don't know. I did him. He was my first 10 minute or less podcast.
Yeah.
And here was my thought process. It's like, okay. So Jeremy's from Cooper.
Right.
He's not from Paris.
Right.
So it'd be hard to do a story on Jeremy.
This is Paris, Texas.
This is Paris, Texas. It's a Paris, Texas podcast. But Jeremy influences Paris, Texas because he not only has a company that he sells product here, he also is a teacher at North Lamar. He teaches science and robotics. And
be a good story.
So, I mean, he's raising our children.
Right.
In school. I mean, that's one of his jobs. And he works here. So I wanted to find more people like that that I could interview, but really quick. I just want to hear some quick stories, who you are, what you do, in and out. Like the synopsis you gave at the beginning. Like,
so why didn't you fail?
I found it hard to find those people because, I spend a lot of time in Paris.
Yeah.
I work in Paris. I, a lot of the people that I'm involved in the chamber.
Right.
you know, a majority of the people that are around me, my circle, live here.
Sure.
So it has been difficult for me to find somebody, that has 10 minutes just to, like, stop and talk about themselves, and not be from here.
Right. No, I totally get it.
So, but I will still do them. They just may not be weekly. It'll be more like, you know, if there's an event and I'm at that event, like, I really wished, you weren't there, actually. I was at the chamber banquet, and we had a gal keynote speaker, Amelia Earhart, came in and spoke to us.
That's awesome.
Not the real Amelia Earhart.
I was about to say.
I mean, her name is really Amelia Earhart.
Is it really?
Birth name, given, birth certificate, everything. But she is...
Yeah.
I mean, she's in her upper 20s. Awesome. She didn't tell me her age, but she's younger than me. Amazing story. Look her up.
To do a 15-minute?
I didn't have the guts because, you know, she people pay her to come in and tell her story.
Of course.
Why would I want...
Yeah, exactly.
So, but something like that where I meet somebody. Yeah. She's not from here. She's from Denver, Colorado. But she came and spoke to a bunch of people, influenced people with her story.
Yeah.
Would have loved to have been able to tell her story.
I really like the podcast because, you know, you get different angles. You know, you hear stuff about, you know, like Michael Plata and stuff like that, you know, about, you know, I thought his was really interesting, you know, to learn about
cake
his.
Cake baker?
I know, right? Never knew that.
You would never look. Michael's a good friend of mine. We work together weekly. I see him two or three times a week.
Yeah.
Never in my mind would I ever had thought that he baked cakes.
Yeah.
Or even knew how to bake cakes.
But that's the reason why this is so entertaining.
Yes.
Is because, you know, you take that person and you're like, I had no idea.
No idea.
So,
I mean, that's the heart behind it. Is hearing people's story. And it makes it easier had you not known Michael or yourself.
That's
like,
right.
You know yourself, but like, had someone not known you or Michael,
right.
It will be easier when they walk through your doors for them to talk to you if they had listened to this podcast.
I agree.
I think. Because they may have some sort of connection. Hey, I've been to London too.
Right.
And I think there's something awesome about that. I don't know. I mean, and I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I like doing this.
Well, good. That's the important thing.
So.
Definitely, man.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. I've enjoyed it. It's awesome. Let's do it again.
2.0. We will try to schedule it.
Yeah.
A Paris, Texas history lesson from Chris and Broadway. Perfect. Broadway probably doesn't know half as much as Chris, but I know enough.
Yeah. I think it'll be, it's super entertaining. I mean,
I'd love to bring in one of these guys. Like, I've been told a few names and I can't remember them off the top of my head. Of guys who are passionate about the history of Paris, Texas, and they know it like the back of their hand.
Yeah.
And you and me can interview them or something. Because you know, you probably know a lot, but maybe not as much as that person does.
Yeah.
So then between the three,
it's good information to know. We have this, you know, not to get back on it, but there's a picture while I was walking through the museum because our dealership is located at Kaufman and Southwest First, right? Well, back in the day, there was a hotel called Merrick's Hotel, Merrick, and Merrick Hotel.
This is pre-fire, pre-big fire.
This is,
because there was three fires.
1916 was one.
The big fire. Okay, yeah.
The last big one. And there's a picture of a guy on a bicycle cart type deal that's at the intersection looking north, like toward the, you know, the Paris Community Theater, Dirt Road. 1912 is when it is done, and I'll have to get the picture for you, but it is awesome to see. North Texas Dry Foods is the building actually he's in front of. So Paris, you know, even then they had it going on, and it's very interesting to know, you know, your roots at the same time. There's a lot of people that end up living in Paris their whole life, and you know, some people don't care anything about it, but I'm like super interested in.
No, I'm,
you know.
I'm fascinated too. We had Marvin Gorley on.
Man, he is incredible.
He's not from here. Interesting, but doesn't matter. But
full of information.
He knows so much about Paris.
Yeah, I would love to sit down and
pick his brain
with Marvin. Yeah, he is. Awesome.
That's
guy.
A good podcast to go back and listen to. I mean, he almost so much we couldn't fit it all in a podcast because he just knows so much.
And yeah, he, definitely.
If you ever need someone to look up history on a building or on a person or something, he's a good guy to contact. If he can't do it, he knows someone that can.
There is actually a tree that survived the fire.
In the main fire over here area? By
Culbertson Park, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you think of, 1916. Wow. That's an old tree.
That's an old tree.
It's over there. That's southwest corner across the street. Tree.
All right, bud. Dude, you're the man.
Hey, I appreciate you.
It was a good podcast. Guys, thanks for listening. If you have not come to South Main Iron, you should hit them up. I mean, if nothing else, just to walk through the building, see the very cool old building. If if you want to, go ahead and buy a bike or side by side or anything they have in their building. T-shirt would be cool too. And just check it out, because I tell you what, I would check it out now, because in the next couple of years, A, it's going to look different, and B, it's going to be even better. So it would be nice to have that comparison before, after, wow, how far have we came. So thanks for listening. As always, this podcast will come out every Monday. I will stay true to that. I've got a couple more people lined up to be on it. I will slip on. You'll get the sneak peeks on Friday as usual. And occasionally maybe you'll get a surprise podcast, a little short 10-minute, story from somebody who influences Paris. You can always check me out on Facebook. I have a group. It's Paris, Texas, a podcast. The group, you can join that group. That is where I post the majority of my reminders. Sometimes I even post fun photos of something from the podcast. I have a really good idea for a fun photo. A lot of times they're Photoshopped, but a really fun idea for this podcast. So you should wait till after this podcast is released and then go back to the Facebook group and you might get to see a fun photo. Sometimes they're real photos, but a lot of times I just Photoshop them. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. I just love hearing people's story. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.